Today we're going to finish up our series on four words from the cross, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. Anybody in here who don't need a little forgiveness? Somebody's bound to raise, oh look, somebody definitely bound to raise their hand, it always is. We all need a little forgiveness. Today we come in here celebrating the joy, having the joy of Jesus overcoming the grave and walking from the tomb and overcoming death and all that good stuff, right? But we forget of the 94 hours sometimes. We forget about that 94 hours that leads up to this moment. We forget how the Last Supper led up to the garden and how the garden led to his arrest, his betrayal, his trial. We forget about him standing before Pilate and before Herod, being mocked by the soldiers, the purple cloak, the crown of thorns, the torment of carrying his cross to the streets. We forget about the pierced hands and the feet and being mocked by the thieves and the soldiers. About hanging on the cross for 6 hours. And about his death. 94 hours. Being lovingly removed from the cross and carried to a rich man's tomb. And there he would lay for 3 days and three nights. And the people all wondered, what happened to the Messiah? We thought he was the Messiah. They had wondered and they had asked for a sign, and Jesus had given them one. The Bible says in Matthew 12:40, it says, for Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, and so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He gave them a sign. And like we've learned about from the road to Emmaus this morning, and yet on that the Sunday morning, when they were surprised. Where's Jesus? Today we're going to look at the story of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, her name actually appears in the Gospels like 12 times. That's like even more than most of the disciples. You guys know that? You know that Mary Magdalene really gets a really bad rap. It started from Pope Gregory back in 581 when he was the one that called her the prostitute. That's not accurate. You move forward a little bit and we see it coming into film. Remember The Passion of the Christ? Remember that movie? Remember how intense it was? You remember what they said about Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene was supposedly the prostitute that they threw at the feet of Jesus in John chapter 8. That's who they portrayed her as. And y'all love that story, right? Cast a stone. He's like, right, idiots. I know that's what he wrote. Matter of fact, when I see Jesus, that's the first thing I'm asking him. Hey, man, what'd you write in the sand? Idiots. You would think it couldn't get any worse. Then we had this movie called The Da Vinci Code. You guys remember that movie? The Da Vinci Code was the most blasphemous of all. It accused Jesus of marrying Mary Magdalene and her conceiving a child. And yet, that couldn't be farther from who she was. We know Mary Magdalene from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8, where Jesus says, she is the woman who Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. That's who Mary Magdalene was. So she was like one of the very first followers of Jesus. And so she was with him the whole time. She was on the front lines of everything. When the disciples, man, when Jesus went to the cross, it was Mary Magdalene who was there. The day the tomb was rolled away, the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Mary Magdalene. You see, what this story tells us, just from the beginning, that an encounter with Jesus changes you. It changes you. When you have a true encounter with Jesus, not only are you changed, you want to follow him. You want to be a part of him. You want to be with him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to read in John. Today we're going to be in John chapter 20. And we're going to read about Mary Magdalene, but we're only going to read a portion of it. We're going to read verses 11 through 18. So if you'll pray with me, we're going to dive into this text. Lord, thank you. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for going to the cross for our sins, Lord, and but more importantly, Lord, still walking from the tomb, Lord, to give us eternal life. For it was only by your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, that we can come to truly understand and appreciate all that was done for us. God, we are so not worthy. And yet, it was out of your steadfast love that even from the beginning, you had put a plan in place to save us. To save us from ourselves. To save us from our sin. And to save us from death itself. And so God, as we come to understand your word today, and we look at your words from the eyes of Mary Magdalene, Lord, we just ask us, Lord, that you help us to see ourselves in this text. Lord, did you allow us to insert ourselves in here, Lord, so we can see and feel the same things that she felt, Lord? But knowing all this through scriptures, Lord, we can have a better response. So God, cleanse us now. Make us have a right heart so that we can receive what you have to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 18. Then I'm going to break this up for those of you who haven't seen me do this before. It's okay. We're going to break it up into three parts. So let's start with this. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, John chapter 11. Or John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And when she saw two angels, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know who it was. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is an incredible, powerful text. And in this story right here, I'm going to give you kind of an alliteration. And I want to talk about Easter sadness. I'm going to talk about Easter madness. And then I'm going to talk about Easter gladness. Okay? So let's start with Easter sadness. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. This is John 11 again, or John 20, verse 11. It says, Mary stood outside weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped in to look in the tomb. And there she saw two angels in white sitting with the body of where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Mary was there that day. She was there, and she heard the words, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" She heard those words. She was there to see the sin of all mankind laid upon the Lamb of God. She was there when Jesus said, "It is finished." She was there to witness the first stage of God accomplishing his perfect will through the Lord. She was there to watch him bear the weight of sin. and to give his life as a ransom for many. John, 1 John 2, verse 2 in NIV 84 says this. He said, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for also the sins of the whole world. God, can you imagine the sorrow? Can you imagine the person who changed your life, and all of a sudden you've witnessed this whole thing, and now you go, and the Bible says she went to the tomb weeping, not like those movies that you see on ATN where they're like, hey, let's go put some flowers. No, it said they were weeping. And can I tell you, when the Bible talks about weeping, it's not like, no, it's one of them, it's like one of them full-on cries where your eyes swell up and your nose gets all puffy. You can't, you know, and you can't think straight. That's one of those kind of cries. The Bible says she was weeping. And then she goes up there, and she looks in, and she sees that Jesus is not there, and she runs down, and she tells the disciples who run back. And in all this, when everything's finally settled, she finally has the courage to look in and take it all in. And when she does, she sees two angels. One where the head of Jesus was, and the other at his feet. Can I ask you guys a question? If y'all had have been Mary at that stage, and you looked in that tomb, and you saw that, what would have been your first response? I know what it would have been. Every one of y'all would have taken out your cell phones and started snapping selfies. Video so it can go viral, right? Would you have asked the question? Would you have asked that same question? I wonder. I wonder because, you know, she had been with Jesus the whole time. And she had looked in there now, and she sees these two angels, not like the wings, not like the whole wing thing, okay? They were in human form. The Bible says they were dressed in white, dazzling, radiant white, so white that it was almost like lightning, the Bible describes. And they look at her and they say, why are you weeping? I know that question would have confused me. But as I think about that question, and see, we have the luxury of hindsight here, right? So we can know all the things that was going on, and we can believe in all the words that Jesus said about his coming back to life. And yet, why did she ask the question? Did she not believe what Jesus had said to her? That I'm going to rise and I'm going to come back from the dead in 3 days? He had predicted this over and over and over. And yet, she's wrapped up in this total grief. In her grief, she hears the question. You remember I told you she's weeping, and in her grief, she hears the question, but she can't focus on the truth of what Jesus said. All she can focus on is the fact that he's not there. He's not there. See, when I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever lost somebody, whether it be a relationship or even a pet or a loved one, man, the grief is so real that when people talk to you, sometimes you can't wrap your head around the question. You struggle. Helen Keller says this. She says, what once we enjoyed and deeply loved, we can never lose, for all that we deeply love becomes part of us. You see, every tragedy that we go through in life provides an opportunity to see Jesus in a new way. When we find ourselves dealing with grief and sorrow, we can recall, we can sit back and we can remember that Christ went all the suffering that he went through for us. The pain of our suffering and our grief, the pain that we feel is a result of us living in this broken world. The pain that he suffered for us was a result of his steadfast love for those of us who live in this fallen place. Because Jesus died, we can be forgiven. And because he rose from the grave, because he lives, we have a future in the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus, when we look at him, he's what helps us turn sadness into joy. Second, I want to talk to you about the Easter madness. Easter madness. She said, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And so Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Easter madness is kind of it was one of those ones I was really kind of looking for a word that rhymed, you know. But when you think about madness, sometimes madness is when we get fixated. We can become so fixated on something that we can't see anything around it. You guys know what I'm talking about? We like to call it tunnel vision. You get so dialed in on something that nothing. That's where Mary was. She was so fixated on trying to find the body of Jesus that she was so fixated on the fact that the tomb was empty that she didn't even perceive Jesus was behind her. She was so fixated on everything else, she perceived him to be the gardener. And Jesus just asked her, he says, "Why are you weeping? What are you looking for?" In that moment, even in his risen state, Jesus demonstrates that he still cares for her. He still cares for us. Even when we're so confused about things, he still cares. I mean, when I read this, I literally see and feel the compassion in his voice as he's talking to her. We're finally coming out of COVID. Or we hope. And I would imagine for all of us, this has been just one of those incredible, for the last 2 years. You guys been stressed out over this? Huh? It's been stressful, right? And in our hunger to try to understand things, we get so stressed out, we start asking questions, and sometimes we begin to ask the wrong questions. And yet, all the time, the presence of Jesus is with us in the room. And we forget that. We forget that in the most troubling of times, when we're so fixated on everything else around it, Jesus is still present with us. He's still in the room. He's asking us the same things, man. Why are you stressed out? Why are you stressed out? He says these words in Matthew. You guys love these words from Matthew. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit." Yeah. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's in Jesus that we find the rest that we need for our souls. It's Jesus that calms the waters. Not so for us, right? When we struggle, what's the first thing that we turn to? Google. Y'all know I'm right. Y'all can sit back and deny it. You know, Chris, you know what we need to do? We need to have everybody submit their search history one day. We can make a great sermon out of that, huh? You guys all, don't go in there and clear your cache now, man. I want you to print out the top 10 things on your search history and send them old Pastor Kev at Ridgeview Danville. We'll make a sermon series out of it. Because we want answers. We want answers. We search for Google. We look for experts. We look for books. We look for videos. We look for everything. And before we know it, we have gone into it. We have been lured into a cesspool of conspiracies, a cesspool of just wrong. We're trying to make that sense out of what's wrong and what's right. Our struggles only deepen. Then we spiral. And we wonder. And then we finally cry out. And we say, Lord, why? Why? I want to share with you something real quick here from a child that struggled his entire life. You guys know this cat? Huh? You know who this guy is? Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, this is like great philosophy because this is like a lot of us what we do. Charlie Brown said, he says, there's no problem so big that I can't run from it. See, that's what we do. We fix out and we run to things in this world, and then we lose sight of the truth that's contained in God's word. But sometimes when we're in that, we can't see him and we can't hear him because we're lost. We're lost in the madness of trying to find answers or solve our own problems. You see, Jesus has overcome the world. He has defeated death and he lives. And he's asking us the same question. Why are we weeping? Why are we suffering? Why are we, and who are you seeking? These words that Jesus are speaking right now, they come from someone who has overcome the grave. Someone who, that brings us life. Words that we need to turn to. Words that contain power. Words that contain understanding. Words that give us hope and peace and all the things that we suffer from, the lack of in this world. See, the words of Jesus help us to overcome the madness. And finally, I want to talk about Easter gladness. That's what you guys want to hear about, right? Gladness. You want to hear about Easter gladness? Holy cow, well, let's get into it. It says, Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father, to your Father and my Father, to my God and to your God. And then Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And he had said these things to her. You know, I think I've read this story at least 1,000 times. You guys heard this story? You've heard this story, right? I'm not sharing anything new here, am I? You guys have heard the story of Mary Magdalene before. But I missed this. All the times that I've read this story, I missed this. You see, Jesus, when Jesus is finally announces his presence, it's not like he said, hey, Mary, it's me. You remember Jesus? It's me. I'm the guy that you were with for all so long. Man, I can't believe you didn't recognize me, but it's me. None of that. No. He simply says her name, Mary. Just Mary. The minute that Jesus called her name, again, her entire world changed. And finally, she sees him. She cries out, Rabboni, and she falls and she worships him. You see, she recognized the voice. She recognized the voice. It was a voice filled with love. Bible tells us in John, he says, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And in John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. See, Mary thought she knew Jesus. When he was gone, she thought she had lost him. But he remains and he called to her. kind of get it. You know, we come to church and we hear this story and we're like, yeah, man, I know it all ends up. Jesus, he walks out of the tomb. I got this, man. He lived, he died, he walked away. Yay. I know how the story ends. I'm good. I got this whole Jesus thing down. But sometimes when we feel like this, we don't hear God in the story. We don't hear the words of God speaking out. But you know what? It's okay, because we're not the first ones ever to go through this. We're not. The Old Testament is filled, well, the Bible is filled with things like this, right? Samson, Moses, yeah? What about Peter? David, even Paul. Each one of them had their moments where all of a sudden they recognized that I truly need God. And in those moments, you know what they heard? You know what they heard in those moments? Here I am. Here I am. I will never leave you or forsake you. I've been calling your name. That's the way it is for us. And in those moments when we think we don't need God, Jesus is still in the background. He's still calling us. And he's, Kevin, Valerie, Pam. He's calling each one of your names just as it is mine. He's calling your names in just the same way, with the same love and compassion that he said, Mary. That voice, when we hear Jesus calling to us, is the most comforting thing we can hear. It's the most uplifting. It's the most strengthening thing that we can ever lay hold of. Yes, this is an old story. And yes, Jesus rose from the grave. And yes, he is alive. And yes, he sits at the right hand of power as a mediator between God and us. He knows us. We are his sheep. As I said earlier, his death on the cross was only one part of God's plan. The resurrection was only one part of God's plan. You know what the rest of God's plan is? He's coming back. He's coming back again. Isn't that hopeful? Isn't that something that we can just wrap our heads around? And isn't that the gladness that we celebrate today? That he has risen. He has risen indeed. But he's coming back. Tony, I'm going to start winding this up, bud. I'm going to start landing this airplane. And then we're going to have kind of a time of response. I don't know about you guys. But I can tell you, I can promise you, there's been times in my life, even as a pastor, that I've been stuck. Amen? You've been stuck?
Yes.
It's an awful place, isn't it? It's an awful place to when we find ourselves that we're stuck. It's not a place of joy, is it? Is it? It's not a place of peace. It's not a place where you find hope, right? When you're stuck, it's not a place where you find these things. And then we get stuck in this thing, you know, and then we start trying to make sense of it. And then we think in this age of information, we can find all the answers we need in tech. We can find an app for that, right? Oh, I just need to pray. There's a prayer app. I can just download the prayer app. But isn't there only one place that we should really look? And that's at the empty tomb. That's the only place we should really be looking, is at the empty tomb. It's ironic. It's really ironic that a place that is so empty actually holds the answers to so much. You see, family, when we stare into that tomb and we begin to let the enormity of what was accomplished out of God's great love, it happens. When we stare in that empty tomb and we start to feel it, it's when all of a sudden that Christ begins to sneak back into our consciousness. And in that moment, we begin to feel peace, hope, joy. And it's in that moment that we hear Jesus calling our name. See, in those moments, sadness is replaced with gladness. So family, as they begin to sing, I'm going to ask you, do you hear it? Do you hear him calling your name? Listen closely. Listen closely, because he's calling. And today, let today of all days be the day that you say, Lord, here I am.